Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Well, thanks for joining us this lunchtime as we together examine this question. What is Christmas all about? For some, I guess Christmas is about doing what we've always done, eating mince pies and Brussels sprouts and watching Die Hard. For others, Christmas is about family, isn't it? Driving for hours to see relatives we barely know, or just getting time at home with the kids. For some, Christmas is the party season, the office party, the team dinner, the meal with mates, all with food and drink galore. For others, Christmas is for the children, isn't it? So visiting Santa's grotto and hoping it's not too much of a rip-off, or putting out sherry and carrots to reinforce a story about flying reindeer. Christmas will look different for all of us here today, depending on our likes and dislikes, our family, our backgrounds. Some of us will love the Santa thing, some won't. Some will have a big family gathering, some won't. Some will go skiing perhaps, some won't. Some will have turkey, some duck, some do films, some go for a walk. Some have presents before lunch, some have presents after lunch. There are loads of options, aren't there? You have your habits, you make your choices, and that's Christmas for you. But because that's how all the other things of Christmas work, it's easy to do the same with Jesus. Some of us here will be Christians, and so Jesus will be a big part of our Christmas. But many of your colleagues in the office may not pay Jesus any attention over Christmas. Others perhaps enjoy the carols and get a crib scene out for their kids. But either way, whether we're Christians or not, we can end up treating Jesus a bit like all the other bits and pieces. Like he's as optional as having goose or turkey, or watching the Queen's Speech, or Doctor Who. My Christmas is this, and Jesus does or doesn't have a place. And your Christmas is that, and Jesus does or doesn't have a place. And we just go on like that, year after year. But my aim for us this lunchtime is that we'd see that Jesus is not just another extra in the Christmas programme, and not another tradition that we can take or leave. As Christians, we should actually be devastated that Jesus gets a look in with some people at Christmas and not with others. I want us to leave convinced that Jesus is the essential part for us personally and for everyone around us, not just for Christmas, but for our lives. We're going to look back at our passage from Luke's Gospel because Luke takes us beyond our opinions and traditions, our likes and dislikes, to the people who were there that first Christmas, and to what God himself says Christmas is all about. So first point on your sheets, just over the page from the reading. What is Christmas all about? Christmas is when, point one, God came close. Look down to verse 8 of the reading. Verse 8 again. In the same region there were shepherds in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. When you hear angel, don't think chubby little kid with wings or weird bloke in a nightie. When angels appear in the Bible, they are terrifying messages from the throne room of heaven. They are like mighty spiritual warriors. And verse 9, it's not just an angel, but look, verse 9 goes on. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And again, in the Bible, God's glory is terrifying. So you may know places where that happens. In the Old Testament, at Mount Sinai, God meets Israel, and there is fire and smoke and lightning. People are terrified. And when God's glory comes to the temple, no human being can approach. When God's glory appears to the prophet Ezekiel, he falls flat on his face. This scene began on our reading, verse 8, out in the fields, in the darkness of night, just picture it. The only light, maybe the odd star, the only sound, just an occasional bird. It's quiet and still. And then bam! From nowhere comes this burning light brighter than the sun as this angel appears and God's glory blazes down. But you may be thinking, and your colleagues will think if you tell them what we looked at, hang on a minute, this stuff about angels and a light from heaven, that doesn't actually happen, does it? You can't expect me to take that seriously. And if we're Christians, that response can knock us back a bit and make us wonder if perhaps a Christmas might be more believable without all these angels and glory and virgin birth. But we must not be put on the back foot. Because just imagine for a moment that God came to this world as a human being, but didn't tell anyone and then left again. I think our sceptical friends and colleagues would be the first to object, wouldn't they? Because they're the ones who say, look, if there is a God, why doesn't he show himself? Well, we've got to say to them, well, what if he has? What if we're reading the account of when he did show himself loudly and clearly? If God came close to earth, well, aren't messengers and glory and extraordinary events what we'd expect? And this stuff is only impossible if we've already decided it's impossible. But that's hardly being open-minded, is it? That's hardly being willing to follow wherever the evidence leads. That'd be like rejecting a Christmas present someone gave you this year just because you're convinced there's nothing inside it. And hey, it might be empty. You might have some mead friends or family. But you'll never know unless you open it. Rather than dismissing this stuff out of hands, the reasonable thing to do is to examine the evidence, to listen on, and to find out if there is anything inside. Point one, Christmas is when God came close. And look back to see how the shepherds respond. Look at the middle of verse 9. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. It literally says they feared a great fear. They are flipping terrified, we might say. And these guys aren't wimps. These shepherds worked nights in open country. We kind of panic if the photocopier breaks down. They would only worry if wolves and bears came. They are tough blokes, but they fear a great fear. Because God came close. And they see the glory of God in his purity and holiness and perfection. And to imperfect, flawed human beings, that is terrifying. Because when light comes, it reveals what's in darkness. And just think for a moment how we would feel if God came close and his perfect light revealed everything. What we said and what we did, even our thoughts at our work Christmas party, or when we're out with mates, or in our less good moments with family. When God comes close, all is exposed. The darkness of the night here, the darkness of the world, the darkness of our hearts is laid bare before him. Lots of people like to think that if we did one day meet God, he'd basically be fine with us. But we have to ask, is that what we really think? Or just what we'd like to think? If there is a heaven and hell, we like to think that we'd make the cut. But is that what we really think, or just what we'd like to think? Surely these questions are too big to wait and see. At Christmas, God came close, and the shepherds were terrified. But God came closer at Christmas than just angels and his glory. God himself came to earth. Because look at verse 11 and the identity of the baby. Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a saviour who is Christ the Lord. And just look back, where else in this passage do we get that name, Lord? Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around. A glance on to the end of verse 15. They say, end of verse 15, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The Lord God sent his angel. The Lord's glory shone. The Lord God made known what happened. And yet, who is this baby? End of verse 11 again. He is Christ the Lord. Christmas is when God came close, not just by sending angels or his glory from heaven, but by taking on human form, growing in a womb, being born as a baby, and growing up to be a man. And this makes God coming close very personal. Because this baby, this individual, this man, Jesus, is the Lord God. He is the creator, the ruler, and king of every single one of us. Verse 11, if you look back, drives us home in two other ways. Bethlehem, where he's born, is called, verse 11, the city of David. Because David is the great king. It emphasises Jesus' royalty. And Christ is the title in the Old Testament God gives to his promised king. And my daughters are learning songs for their Christmas assembly. One of them is learning Catch a Falling Star and Put It in Your Pocket, Never Let It Fade Away. It's a bizarre song, isn't it? Look, if a star was falling, I'd go the other way rather than trying to catch it. But my older daughter is learning We Three Kings. And apart from the fact that no one knows how many kings there were, the rest of the words are pretty good. She was practicing it yesterday, and the second verse says this: born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Do you realise that's who God says Jesus is? He is king forever, ceasing never. His authority and reign will never end. And he reigns over all of us. Not just people who call themselves Christians, or those who choose to include church or carols in their Christmas. He's king of me. He's king of you. And he's king of every single person back in your office, even if they're going to pay him no attention this Christmas. Now, the only question is whether they recognise him as king or not. But either way he is, because, end of verse 11, he is the Lord, God himself. At Christmas, God came close, very close. And so let me ask us, how have we treated this king? What place has Jesus had in our thoughts and priorities in 2018? For many people, he's had no place at all. Over the next few weeks, lots of people will give him their annual lip service as they sing a few carols. But even if we're Christians, if we think he's a key part of just our Christmas, but not a part of other people's, and that's okay for them, then we've missed the point. He is the Lord God, the forever unceasing King of all, come to earth. He demands a place over every Christmas and every life. God came close, very close. And the shepherds are terrified. But look back to verse 10 and the angel's first words. Verse 10, the angel said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. And look on to verse 20 at the end. Verse 20 at the end, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. They start terrified and they finish overjoyed. But how is that possible? Well, because Christmas is when God came close, but he came close, point two on your sheets, to rescue. They begin with fear and end with joy, because as verse 10 says, Christmas is, verse 10, good news of great joy. Because verse 11, to you is born this day in the city of David a saviour, who is Christ the Lord. God came close to rescue. In August this year, a local paper in West Wales carried the headline, Four Rescued from Quarry on Cliff. Let me read. A painstaking operation saw a family group rescued after getting stuck up a hill on treacherous terrain. A quick investigation pinpointed the party, two men and their daughters aged 7 and 4. They had attempted to scramble to the summit of Bird Rock via the steep quarry, an area of shattered and loose stone, and got 150 metres above the road before becoming stuck. The quarry presented a dangerous working area with poor anchor options and a high risk from falling material. In a 5.5 hour rescue operation, the casualties were lowered in pairs to the road. We were all very glad they made it safely down. Why do I have that story? Well, because I was there with my daughter and a friend and his daughter stuck on the cliff. And we needed rescue. When my friend, who I should say is much more qualified and more experienced than me, said, I think we should call Mountain Rescue. My first instinct, and actually my second instinct, was to say, we'll be okay. I'm sure we can get up. So I actually just carried on for a bit. But then we stopped. We looked down. We looked up. And we realised we weren't okay. It wasn't like a sheer drop, but 150 metres down, and you wouldn't have stopped if you started falling. And the rain was coming. And worst of all, we didn't even realise we were climbing a quarry. But every stone was unstable. For a while, we liked to think that we were okay and we just kept going. But in reality, we really weren't. And I tell you, it was pretty humbling to have to stop and call for help and sit there and be rescued. But we are very glad that we did. And Christmas is when God came close to rescue. We're not stuck on an unstable rock on a cliff face, but lots of people do think that they're okay, even when they're not. Because left to ourselves, we are facing the consequences of how we've treated God and his King Jesus, who came to earth that first Christmas. We can hide things pretty well from each other at work and at home, but God will expose them all. Just like his light lit up the sky that first Christmas. When we meet him in judgment, every detail of our lives will be laid bare. Every word, every action, every thought we've ever had. Warren Buffett once said, it's only when the tide goes out that you see who is swimming with no shorts. And we're kidding ourselves if we think we'll be okay before God on our own. We need rescue. We may not realise it, like me on that hillside. We may be too proud to admit it at first. It may be easier in the short term just to assume that we'll be okay and keep going. But we won't be. We need rescue. Because left to ourselves, things are not okay between us and God. But look at verse 14 and the angel's message. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Because Jesus came to rescue and offers us peace. And not first and foremost between people, though that will come, but peace between us and God. And he offers this to anyone. And look back at verse 10. Verse 10, this is good news of great joy for all the people. And these shepherds were nobodies in their day. They lived in the fields. They worked in the muck. And if you're here this lunchtime and you look at your spiritual track records and the state of your heart and think, God wouldn't want me. Things have just gone too far for that. Then believe what God says in verse 10. This is for all the people. God singles out these nobodies on the hillside because this peace is for them too. And if it's for them, it's for us. What is Christmas about? Christmas is a rescue. The shepherds start in fear, not of falling down a cliff, but the fear of failed, sinful, rebellious people in the presence of a holy and perfect God. But they end in joy, point two, because Jesus came to rescue. But also point three on your sheets, because this happened for real. I guess if you're listening and you're not a Christian, or if you were to share this with your colleagues when you go back and they ask you what you've been up to, you'd still have big questions. And you might still be asking, can I really believe in angels and God and stuff like that? You might be open to the possibility and want to know, look, did it really happen? Or you might be wondering how this peace is possible or how you get it. Well, if so, let me encourage us to take a lead from the shepherds. Because they might have asked similar questions. You know, are we dreaming? Or is this really happening to us? What is this peace? How does it come? Is this true or too good to be true? So what do? Well, they check it out for themselves. And verse 12, did you notice God encourages them to? Verse 12, look back. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. God wants people to know that he's come to rescue. And so, of course, verse 15, when the angels went away, verse 15, the shepherds said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And they don't say, well, you know, someone said it, so of course it must be true. But also, they don't say, look, this is impossible. This has never happened to me before. It can't have happened. They check it out for themselves. And so verse 16, look down. Verse 16, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, just as the angels said they would back in verse 12. And in verse 17, when they saw it, and in verse 20 at the end, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Do you see what Luke is emphasising? The line about the manger isn't just so they could spot the right baby, though I guess it helped with that, but it authenticates the angel's message. It means Jesus being Lord and Saviour isn't a vague idea that someone told someone once, and if you're really naive, you might believe it. Luke wants us to see that these are real, tangible events that happened in history. These were real men with names and families and jobs who one day went to work in an evening like any other, but then bam, this happened. And of course, we can't go and see this baby in Bethlehem because, like all babies, he grew up and became a man and did extraordinary things that only God himself could do. He raised the dead and healed the sick and controlled nature with his words. But 33 years later, he was executed by the Romans, though he'd done nothing wrong, because he was dying to bring us the peace promised in these verses. And then he came back to life again, defeating death again to give us peace beyond the grave. And so God's challenge to you, if you're here this lunchtime and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and the challenge we have to take to our colleagues this Christmas time is, will you do what the shepherds do and check it out for yourself? Or will you come and see by taking out Luke's gospel that's on your table and reading it to examine the evidence God has given us? Next week it's the carol service. What an opportunity that is to invite colleagues to hear about this rescue for themselves. Because whatever Christmas will be like, whatever likes and dislikes they have, whatever traditions or opinions, Christmas is when God came near, and so Jesus is their king too, whether they know it or not. But he came to rescue for real. Let me close by praying for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your kindness in sending Jesus to rescue us. We pray that we would grasp this more deeply this Christmas time, and that many of our colleagues would too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.